and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 121 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by just one best friend, Garrett Drake.
That'd be me, and I'm happy to be here with you, Preston. You have traded places with Jacob. How do you feel?
I feel great. It's been a while since it's just been us two.
It has been. I always enjoy our episodes alone. Not that I have anything against Jacob, because I enjoy our episodes alone also. But it's always a slightly different dynamic when it's the two of us versus Jacob and I.
Yeah, you mean it's better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think to this day, I've never missed an episode. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
I guess it'd be almost impossible without me being here because it's at my house and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's not impossible.
Me and Jacob just
give you
kick
guys
in your door.
Right.
Come do the podcast while your parents are calling the police, and then we
exactly.
Narrowly escape as they get here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even post nasal surgery, I had to be here. I just couldn't miss it. I was like, I think I'm feeling up to it. I could barely speak. It sounded like I was talking through a tube or something. But old Jacob's actually watching the Falcons game today. That's why he's not here. He's absent because of the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. So, and family's over.
And family's over, yeah. So he's a busy man today, which is understandable. But it's good to be here with you, Preston. How was your week?
My week was pretty good. I was in Birmingham for 3 days. I got home on... When did I get home? Wednesday night? Yeah, I got home Wednesday night. I had the rest of the week off, so I just enjoyed it by relaxing, playing a few video games, watching a ton of football yesterday. I woke up at 11 and watched football until like 2 a.m. this morning. So, a lot of football. A lot of great football. We were just talking about that. We were watching some Georgia recaps. It's a good year to be a Georgia fan so far. I know we don't talk about it too much, primarily because Georgia has been sucking the big one the past couple of years. But we're looking good this year, so I'm very excited. Hoping we can keep it up. Don't want to get too excited, because you know that can come crashing down any week. But I'm definitely digging watching football a lot more than I have been the past couple of years.
So, that's wonderful. Yeah, yes. I've not been able to watch as much as I'd like to due to work on the weekends, unfortunately. Yesterday, I wasn't working, but I was meeting with a venue that I will be running sound at in the coming weeks. So that's why I couldn't watch yesterday's game. I was stuck in Atlanta all day long. Mm-hmm. But I kept up with the score. I just didn't get to see it. But we just watched the highlights from the Tennessee-Georgia game, and I enjoyed what I saw, Preston. So I'm right there with you, and I'm hoping this trend continues throughout the remainder of the season. That'd be wonderful.
Absolutely.
And I hope we get our sweet revenge against Alabama, or at least a chance to achieve our revenge in the SEC championship later on this year. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd at least like to have the chance to play them.
Winning
is a whole nother story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be a Cinderella story for sure.
Oh, yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Even the last time we faced them would have been a Cinderella story.
And the last time we faced them just was not good in the slightest.
It hurt my soul.
Yeah,
it scarred
hurt my
me.
Soul. Yeah.
That's the only time I've yelled at my own friends before.
Oh, that time?
Mm-hmm.
That was even longer ago.
Yeah, maybe
we
that's
played
what I'm
them
about it.
Like a
I'm
year
thinking about the last
ago.
Time we met in the SEC championship.
Oh, the SEC championship
specifically,
yeah. And like needed to go 5 more yards to win.
Exactly.
Yeah. That there's never been a football game that's literally stuck with me for like weeks after.
Yeah. It was heart-wrenching.
It was. So hopefully that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm not going to like in a bad relationship where you're too emotional and the girl breaks your heart and you never want to open yourself up again to somebody like that.
Right.
I'm that way with football.
Yeah.
I never want to get too invested again because I just can't have my
You've
heart
You've been hurt
broken.
One too many times.
I've been hurt too bad. Georgia's hurt me so bad. So until they win a title, I'm going to be reserved with them. But I still love them. They'll always be my team. So even
Wonderful.
When they suck, they're always going to be my team.
Great.
So
that's cool. You play any games this week?
I did. Not a lot, but I played more than I did the previous week. Obviously, because I wasn't working as much. But I played... I guess since I wasn't even here last week, I can talk about what I played last week. I played the Project Octopath demo, and I dug it a whole bunch. I had a Final Fantasy VI vibes from it. Which I never beat Final Fantasy VI. I always have trouble going back to older games that I don't have nostalgia for, and I could totally see why Final Fantasy VI is praised. And if I would have played it back when it was initially released, I totally probably would have been obsessed with it and stuff. But there are just a few things that were just kind of old about it, and then other things came out, and I kind of just stopped playing it. But Octopath gives me those vibes of Final Fantasy VI that are, and they're updated and stuff. The combat system's really cool with you're saving your boost and like I don't even know how to describe it really. You have those like boost marks or whatever. I really like that little bit of a extra layer of strategy in the combat. So, and the art style's freaking gorgeous. So I'm digging that for sure. I'm looking forward to it coming out. Hopefully, I know there's some rumors going around that it's a Final Fantasy game in disguise. They're just using this weird Project Octopath name to maybe throw people off. That could be dead wrong, but I really hope it ends up being a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, you'd wonder why they would hold off, even if that's a thing, like revealing that it's Final Fantasy till the last minute or something. Why they wouldn't just say it now, I don't know.
I don't know. All I know about is the Bravely Default team is making it, and I know that game was praised a lot as being like a kind of a throwback to an old Final Fantasy game on the DS. I played the demo of that, didn't really dig it too much. I'm liking this game way, way, way more. So, and I think main thing about it as well is taking it on the go as well. Yeah. Like, this totally seems like a handheld game that I could just become obsessed with. If it was on PlayStation, I still like it, but I probably wouldn't be as excited for it, because typically turn-based RPGs are something I like to take on the go. Like, I love Persona 5 to death, but man, if I could have taken that on the go with me, holy crap, that would have just taken
it. I feel
it
like
to
that
a
would fit
level.
Wonderfully on the Switch.
Oh yeah,
wonderfully.
That's why 4 was freaking awesome on Vita. Mm-hmm. That's just, games like that are just perfect. Just take on the go, just especially when you're going through like a, oh crap, what are they called? The memory, the train station, mementos.
Yes.
Yeah, the mementos, just like grinding those out, finding stuff. It's just perfect when you're just like driving in the car or riding, not driving.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Well, I'm sitting in traffic.
Yeah. Riding the car on a plane or something. That would have been perfect for that. But
absolutely. Well, I also played that demo and I share your sentiments for the most part. That's the thing. I didn't even dislike it at all. I don't know if I'll actually play it in its entirety when it comes out. I mean, I guess it depends on what else is coming out around that time. But I did enjoy it a lot, so it was cool. Yeah. I have very little history with Final Fantasy, so I mean, I hear everyone saying that they gives them that Final Fantasy vibe, but it was cool. I liked it a lot. I liked the characters, and like you mentioned, just knowing about the differences in all the characters and the different story paths that they follow and everything is interesting. So
just the little smidge of story they gave us, I was definitely intrigued by it.
Yeah, it was cool. I like the opening. I played as, I think his name's Ulbrich, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So I played as that gentleman, and I liked his story so far.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Yeah, so very cool. I'm going to play as the dancer girl probably later on, next time that I'm doing something, I'm bringing my Switch. I'll probably play through it.
Yeah.
Still got to beat Sonic Mania. I did play some more Sonic Mania, and I still like that game. I'm just playing, like, every time I turn it on, I'd be, like, one level, and then I put it back up. Mm-hmm. But it's still fun. So I played that for a teeny tiny bit when I was out of town. Almost bought Mario Rabbids. I was in a GameStop, and I just stared at it, and I put it back up.
Nice.
Yeah. Because I figured I probably wouldn't get to it. So I thought I would rather spend that money to buy Divinity Original Sin 2,
yes,
which I bought actually while I was out of town. I heard you talking about it on the podcast. I bought it before you had even talked about it, so I thought that was funny that me and you were like zoning in on that game without even talking to each other about it. But primarily, I'm sure, just like you, I've just heard so many people talk about how this is like the greatest RPG and like forever, and it could be one of the greatest PC RPGs of all times, or CRPGs is what they call them. I don't really know what the C stands for, but
computer baby,
yeah, maybe.
PC RPG,
yeah. But I like it a lot so far. It's cool. I don't really have, I can't really go into too much detail in it because I've only played for like 3 or 4 hours maybe.
Yeah.
But so far, I really like the characters I've met, like the Red Prince, for instance. I think he's a really cool character. I met this assassin elf who's really, really cool. And I like the cool elements that each of like abilities that each of them have. Like the elves can actually eat human body parts and like relive their memories and stuff. I think that's so cool because I like picked up this leg a while ago and I was like, what the heck is this for? And I fed it to her and it like progressed a quest. And I think the whole mechanic with the undead, how if you play as one, you have to hide your face because people will freak out, and if you have one in your party, you have to make sure he's hidden and stuff. I think just things like just little tiny details that are just so cool and like really make that world feel alive.
The devil's in the details, they say.
Yes. So I'm still on the tutorial island or whatever, and I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I told you I started in classic mode and was just getting my teeth kicked in, and it was so freaking hard. I suck at games like this anyways because I hardly play them. Like, I don't play XCOM. I don't play pretty much anything that involves too much strategy, but I would like to get good at it. But so I toned it down to explore mode, and I'm enjoying it a lot more now. I would like to think that I get kind of accustomed to that, and maybe later on down the line I can turn the difficulty back up if I feel like it's getting too easy or something.
Yeah,
but so far I'm definitely excited to dive back into that world and progress my story farther along. Did you pick an origin character or did you make your own?
I made my own.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you pick an origin character?
Yeah, I heard that that's the best thing to do to start out with.
Okay.
Because it's harder. Because if you like create a character and accidentally like mess up your stats or something, you can like suck later.
Yeah, I have like multiple saves just in case. I mean, obviously I couldn't go back. I'm gonna go back 15 hours and change this, but at least a couple hours back in case I needed to do something differently.
I listened to all the origin stories of all the characters, and I picked the generic fighter dude. I forgot his name. It's like Earfear or something. But his story seemed cool, how he was a part of like this assassin clan called the Silver Wolves, I think that's what it was called. I don't know. I just heard his and I was like, oh, this one's pretty cool. I'll pick him. So, but yeah, so far I'm digging him. I like the characters and stuff, so excited to get back to it.
I meant to say, side note to whoever's listening to this podcast, you probably hear a lawnmower in our mics right now because there's a gentleman mowing the lawn, I think, directly next door to my house. So I apologize for that. But I'm also loving Divinity. Still on the tutorial island as well. I think you're a little ahead of me right now. But I love it. Again, it is really just all in the details. Like the world is, and we're not even in like the main world yet. Just even the tutorial island is beautiful, and the music is gorgeous in the game. And I love interacting with all the different characters and the branching storylines, and how you can easily manipulate the way your party feels about you, and they'll just straight up leave if they don't like you and everything. I think that's an interesting dynamic to it. And the combat's pretty fun as well. I mean, it's turn-based, but you can also move around a lot and be strategic in that sense and control the different characters and however you want to tackle each fight. But I also started an explorer due to Felipe from the community telling me that the original was very difficult, and he said just probably play on easy, and I did that. And so it's been smooth sailing so far. I mean, it's not easy to the point where it's like, I don't have to try. Like, I still have to put somewhat of an effort into fights and stuff, but it's just enough to where it's enjoyable, but not overly difficult.
Yeah.
So, it's awesome. I can't wait to get back to it.
Yeah. Same here. So. I just think it's so cool how I've found, just by talking to everybody and exploring, there's like, I've found like four or five different ways to escape the island. So there's just like, it's very much, I know this has been overused with this game. Like, I've heard a thousand people say, oh, it's play it your way.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of games say this, but this one actually means it.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, from what I've seen so far, that's definitely true. But yeah, I'll be like the 1,000 first person to say that about this game.
That's what I love about it so far. Even to not, like I said, you're a little further than me, but even just side quest I've done, it seems like there's multiple ways to tackle each one and everything. So
yeah, there is one little thing that I'm still kind of confused about. When you have a quest in your journal, even when I've completed a quest, there's still like the flag telling me to go there.
Is there?
Yeah.
I haven't noticed that.
Yeah, like, this is not a spoiler thing, but there's like,
you mean like on your map you see a flag?
There's like a dead character who clearly can't contribute anything to the rest of this quest, and there's still a marker saying where he is, and I like run over there and his dead body's there, and I'm like, why is this marker still here?
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's the only thing that's kind of like confusing me. But if that's pretty much the only complaint I've had, everything else has just been really, really top notch.
All right.
So far. So I'd be interested in how the co-op works. I don't know how that would work.
All right. Maybe it'll be, I think someone in a review or Let's Play I watched said that maybe it'll be like, I don't know. Well, I don't know why they said maybe, because that they've played it. I don't know why they said maybe, but someone said maybe it's like the Old Republic from Star Wars, where you both are in a dialogue and you both go back and forth choosing options.
I was talking about like even your characters. Like, do you just bring your main character into somebody else's party?
Right, or is it...
And how does that affect the story?
What's that one game we've played in the past where when you play co-op, one person plays as their main character, but the other one's just like some generic helper or something?
Fable?
Is that what it is?
I can't remember. Fable.
So maybe
just play some random person.
Right, I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm still confused why they're like, maybe this is how it is when they were playing the game. Like, well, how is it?
They weren't like a loser to me.
Yeah, they weren't clear on when they were talking about it, so I don't know. I would love to try it with you, though, at some point.
Sure, we can try it. But yeah, that's cool. Do you think you'll beat this game?
Yeah, definitely. I want to. I mean, it might take me a long time, yeah, but I want
to
beat it.
This will take forever. I'd like to beat it, too. I got a couple hours in the first game, and I kind of just fell off of it, but I'm way more psyched about this one than I was the first one. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it'll keep me engaged for long enough. I know there's a lot of stuff coming up.
There is.
Who knows if I can beat it by then.
That's all I really want to play until, like I mentioned, I think I mentioned it last week, to Wolfenstein and Mario. I mean, I'm playing Destiny in between a little bit here and there, but I don't know if I'm... I mean, I have to do a write-up on the PC version of Destiny, so I will have the PC version, but I don't know if I'm going to go, like, really neck deep into that for a while. Mm-hmm. So I think I've got... I haven't done the raid yet, but after I do the raid, I think I've had my Destiny 2 fill to the next expansion.
Yeah, I hear you. I want to platinum it. I just have to do Trials of the Nine, and I have to get my Titan, both his subclasses, which I've already gotten two subclasses, so I just need one more, and then the Platinum's mine.
Yeah, I figured I could do that as well, because it isn't, like you mentioned, it's not hard.
Oh, no, it's... Compared to Destiny 1.
I mean, if that's something that's that easy, I might as well do that.
Yeah.
So I'll probably do that in between. All I really want to do left is do the raid once and then maybe just rank up my other two characters in the meantime till Wolfenstein and Mario.
Raid's definitely worth doing. It's fun. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. I've seen people... Have you seen the video of the people killing the boss in like one stage?
Callus?
Yeah.
No.
It just made me want to just throw up everywhere because of the hell we went through to do it. Right. And people are like one-shotting him. It's just insane. Wow. So, I mean, it's easy if you have everybody set up correctly with the correct weapons and abilities and stuff. You can take him out in like 2 seconds.
I'm high enough to do it now, so I want to do it this week.
Yeah.
If someone's willing to take me with them. I will go in with an understanding of how it works. Obviously, I haven't played it, but I've seen so many people describe what to do.
I'm off this week. So. Okay. Let me know. I would love to do it again.
We should.
So
if we go on with an experienced team, which is practically everyone but me at this point, I feel like it'd make a solid stream as well.
You got it. You're not incompetent like some of the people I've played with. I'd say 90% of the people I've played with.
We will see. Well, did you play any other games this week?
Dishonored, Death of the Outsider.
Okay.
We got to come up with a name for platinuming a game on Steam. Something that... 100%ing, that just doesn't roll off the tongue.
Mm.
I'm just going to use platinum.
I Steam
platinumed a game.
Right.
The first one, and I was kind of disappointed. Nothing exciting happened or anything.
At least shows on your games that you've completed it 100%, right?
Yeah,
that's cool.
That just doesn't seem like a big deal on Steam. Mm-hmm. There are these like badges or something, or you get booster packs. I don't know. I've read the tutorial. I was like, I don't give a crap about this. I don't care. But I did that. Death of the Outsider. It's a fun, fun game. It's more Dishonored 2. There's one thing about it that I like and also don't like at the same time. There's only one assassination in the entire game. Whereas...
I heard most of the missions are you like just finding clues to progress forward or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's you trying to get things so you can assassinate the Outsider.
Right.
Which there is a bank robbery mission, which is freaking awesome.
Sounds great.
Oh, it's so cool. There's so many ways to infiltrate the bank.
So in a lot of ways, it's kind of like Thief in that sense.
Yeah.
But not nearly as good.
Way worse. You can break into a pharmacy, or you go to a pharmacy and find the pharmacist, and she'll give you like this isn't spoiler. This is just how this storyline progresses, and it's really cool. So you have these powers. I think I already spoke about them on the last podcast I was in. There's... clear like a blink knockoff where you just like kind of put your person there and you can teleport there. There is you can steal somebody's face and you can walk past people, and then you can send this drone out almost and like mark people or mark a place to teleport. Well, this particular part of the mission forces you to take somebody's face on. So you go to the pharmacist. She leaves a note saying she's in her apartment. You go to the apartment. She says that all her stuff was taken and it's at an auction. So you have to get into this auction, but there's guards everywhere. So you have to just take this dude's face and like walk into the auction, and you participate in an auction, and you can win medicine you need, and you need the medicine to put in an air vent of the bank to knock everybody out. So that's one way to get into the bank, is do all of that to get into the bank with everybody asleep and just kind of just walk through everything. Or you can just break into the bank through the sewers. You can break into the bank from the front door. Like there's just ways
so fun
to infiltrate. And there's even ways to get into the vault. You can like literally, the vault is like this elevator, and there's ways to like bring the elevator tumbling down or just sneak into it. Like there's just a ton of variety. I wish there's variety in every Dishonored, but So this kind of is just on the same level as that. I just love breaking into banks.
Yeah.
Just breaking out of prison or breaking into a bank are the two coolest stealth things, and Dishonored has done both of those.
Yeah.
So super awesome. Kind of short. Granted, it's a 20. I got it for like $20.
Mm-hmm.
You can find deals, especially on PC. So I got it for around $20. And my main playthrough, which I didn't get spotted, I explored everything. I took my time with it. It took me about 8 or 9 hours. I think that's what my save said. And there was another achievement where you had to beat it on original game, which what that is you can play through the game again, but with powers that Corvo had from Dishonored 2, like Blink. Or no, Corvo and Emily. You have Blink, Domino, and Dark Vision. So it was cool playing through the missions with a little bit of different powers and stuff. It switched up some scenarios to where, like, you can't take on somebody's face or whatever. So that was pretty cool. But, dude, in that playthrough, it took me, like, 30, 40 minutes.
To beat the whole thing.
Yeah. I knew where to go. I knew exactly the best paths. And I wasn't trying to not be caught either. So I wasn't, reloading my save or whatever. I was just hauling ass through everything.
Right.
So it's not the longest game. I mean, I know people were beating Dishonored 1 in like an hour or two or something when it first came out. So these games aren't long if you know what to do. What takes up a lot of the time is, finding the best infiltration routes, just kind of taking in the atmosphere of the games and stuff, which is done super well in this game. It takes you to another place, to Karnaca, to explore, and there's like non-hostile zones and stuff where you can kind of run around and stuff. So but yeah, I definitely recommend it. If you don't like Dishonored, this is definitely not gonna change your mind. It's just more Dishonored. It's really cool. The ending was a little for me. I mean, I never really went to Dishonored for the story.
Yeah,
but it just kind of just ends.
Yeah,
and that's kind of sad, with it being the last probably Dishonored game we're gonna get for a long time, or if ever, because I know Dishonored 2 kind of just didn't really sell the best.
It's such a shame, because that's an awesome game.
Oh yeah, and it was critically acclaimed. It's freaking so good. Dishonored 2 is so freaking good.
I guess it just calls for a very particular audience, so
I guess.
But it is so wonderful. I'm definitely going to play Death of the Outsider, if not. I know I mentioned, I'm just going to play Divinity and Destiny Toll, yeah. Wolfenstein. But since it's a short game, I think I could blow through it in like a couple days.
Definitely.
With my schedule.
And like I said, it does different things, where in the sense of you're not like going to assassinate somebody, that it kind of feels a little different, because you're not really concerned with figuring out how to assassinate a person. You're just like doing these tasks. Mm-hmm. There are people that, like, once you kill them, they're like, oh, this leader assassinated, but it's like not a big deal. Oh yeah, there are also contracts that you have to go to the black market and find that give you tasks and stuff. Like on one mission, one of the contracts was, I need everybody but this one person killed. So, which is totally different. There's no penalty for killing people in this game.
Yeah, see, that's why I just want to go hog wild.
Oh yeah, so we've always been kind of restrained in these games, because you want the good side ending or whatever. But in this one, none of that's there, so you can just that's the thing that's kind of like weird, is that there's no point in knocking out people in this game. There's no point. It takes longer. It doesn't do anything story-wise. I mean, I guess that can be a complaint. I actually kind of liked it, because I never really play this way in Dishonored. I'm always knocking people out, but knowing that there's no negative effect, I was like, oh, cool, I can just kill everybody.
Yeah.
So that actually kind of made it funner. Mm-hmm. But I can see how that could be a negative as well, because that seems like a big part of the Dishonored series that they kind of just took away.
Yeah. It eliminates the choice of being able to knock out or just kill people.
Yeah, and there's not even an achievement.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Fallout 4 thing. Like, it doesn't really matter what you do. It's like, it's all up to you. You know if you're being good or bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I like there to be stakes
involved.
And
it just... Oh, yeah, and also the very end... Typically, when you're assassinating somebody, there's a... we're going to do this creative way to get rid of this person, or you can just kill them. That's not in this game. It's... You do, like, one little thing. You just go to this room, pick up or read something, and you're like, oh, I can do this now. And then once you actually get to the final person, you just pick, do you want to kill him or not kill him? It was kind of just like that. Well, that's not as fun as it used to have been. then it, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Cause like in Dishonored 1, one of my memories from Dishonored 1, which I think is one of the best missions in the series, is when you go to the brothel. the cat's not whatever the cat brothel thing. I forgot what the name of it, but you have the two twins and you can, put them in like the mines and stuff by, knocking them out or whatever. I forgot how you do it, but I just thought that, which is funny because I should, it's so memorable and I forget how to do it, but just, these cool ways of getting rid of these people. Well, I've loved in Dishonored, and this doesn't have that either. It's just, no, I don't want to kill you. That's like your choice.
Yeah.
So, but, man, that was really hard to get out that entire
That's
thing.
Okay.
Man.
I'm excited to play that,
yeah,
though.
It's a fun game.
I got to figure out if the code I have still works for that game. I'd love if it
did. Just do it really quick.
That'd be great. I'm going to figure it out.
If not, like I said, I think I got it off, like, Green Man Gaming for, like, $20 or something.
Cool.
But definitely worth doing if you're a fan of stealth games and stuff. But I played that. Played a little bit of Destiny. Played a little bit of
Which faction did you go with?
I didn't even pick one. Okay. Oh, no, I did. I picked
Future War Cult,
okay. I believe.
I almost picked them.
Because I like the pulse rifle.
Yeah.
Cool. But Dead Orbit looked, I don't know, they all look pretty cool.
Yeah.
I primarily just played as my Titan trying to get that last trophy.
Right.
But I played a little bit as Warlock. I'm up to 295, I think, which is whatever.
I'm at 280, or 279, but almost 280. So
I got a lot of clan rewards. I haven't been on in a while.
Yeah,
it's just like
so
boom,
many.
Boom, boom, boom. That got me up like four levels or something. So
yeah, the clan stuff.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thanks for working hard for us out there.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, when I picked my faction in Destiny, I of course you take a look at all of them before you pick, and individually they all look really cool. But what sold me a new Monarchy, which I knew everyone had talked about, but I hadn't seen it for myself yet until I actually played it in the game, and everyone's like, oh, the shaders and stuff for new Monarchy looks so cool, and I hadn't seen them yet, but they were not kidding, man. New Monarchy looks so awesome with the red and gold.
Yeah.
And especially the Hunter, I'm like, that looks so badass, I have to play
it. I wasn't
it
a fan of the Warlock gear from New Monarchy. The shaders look cool, just the gear much was like whatever. I thought the gear for the other two were cooler.
Yeah, I like all the gear for the Hunter except those like ninja shoes.
Okay,
so I might swap some different legs out, put the New Monarchy shader on them or something. But overall I thought it looked so cool, and I was New Monarchy in Destiny 1, so I was like, I might as well stick with them. But so that was pretty cool, and ranking that up was pretty simple and really easy. It just truly just playing the game, and I did a bunch of public events and Flashpoint and Call to Arms and everything, and ranked up real easily. So
cool.
Yeah, they all look great though.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah. Will you play anything else? Is that it?
I swear I thought I played World War II Beta on PC. I tried to play. It was awful.
It's funny because I saw someone else. I mean, I didn't watch the video, but in the title, it's like, it runs better on PC?
I mean, it ran. It ran fine, but I was having network problems galore. Like, I could hardly walk straight, and I knew it wasn't just me. My uncle was having problems with it as well.
Yeah.
So, I haven't really looked into it. I kind of just played a few matches, and I was like, well, it's Call of Duty on computer. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play it on PC.
Right.
Call of Duty is just a console game to me. So, yeah. I've got that and Wolfenstein that I'm going to play on PlayStation, primarily because I just ordered the collector's edition for PlayStation. But everything else, I'm probably going to get on PC this year. I've got I haven't really talked about it too much, but I'm going to try and order the remaining parts for a PC that I'm building tomorrow, which would be Monday. Maybe I can, maybe I can't. Hopefully I can. But got to talk with the old ball and chain, if you know what I mean. But I've already got my motherboard, but I'm making an absolute animal, Garrett.
I know you've
told
me about it.
This thing is going to be really cool. So it's going to be a beast.
Yes, I will, to put it lightly.
Yeah.
So
you hear my specs? Might as well.
You might as well since you brought it up.
Okay. I'm running my motherboard's a Maximus 9 Hero motherboard. My CPU is a 7700K. Well, that's a common one, but a goodie. I just got a Corsair liquid cooler on it. I'm running a GTX 1080 Ti GPU to get some 4K goodness. And I'm going to be running 32 gigabytes of RAM. And I've got a 960 Samsung SSD drive just to run all my boot ups and stuff off of. And then I'm getting just a 4 terabyte hard drive just to hold all my games on and stuff. So that's pretty much it.
That's wonderful.
And the graphics card comes with a copy of Shadow of Mordor if I order it within a set amount of time. So I don't have to worry about
Shadow of War.
That. Shadow of War. Yes.
I still call it Mordor.
Yeah. I was kind of about it, but I mean, it looks cool, but for some reason, it's just not like calling to me. But if I get it for free, then yeah, sure, I'll play it.
Yeah.
Especially with it coming out relatively soon.
For sure.
So
that's wonderful.
So yeah, I'm excited. I would like to do that this week. Build that bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, we'll see.
Wonderful.
Yes. Are you excited for Shadow of War?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah. Even what I played, it was very cool what I played at PAX recently, but and I'll no doubt play it at some point, but I don't feel like playing it at launch. So maybe later on when I have nothing else to play.
Okay.
Which has really been a challenge. I mean, back in the day, I was like, oh, there will come a time when there's nothing to play. But we've been getting games consistently for a while now. Yeah. And for the foreseeable future, we'll be getting them too.
I mean, what else is coming out this month? We got that and Destiny and... Oh, no, it's October.
Yeah, Mario, ooh, Wolfenstein. And there's some more in there that I keep overlooking. I mean, it's a jam-packed month.
It is.
So
it is. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It's going to be a good month.
Yes, it is.
Next month as well.
Yes.
Goodness.
Mm-hmm. So plenty to play in between now and the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, did you play anything else?
Yeah, I played Fortnite Battle Royale with a couple OGs from the community on a stream. Can't remember what night that was. Maybe it was a Tuesday night? Monday night? Tuesday night? One of those two nights.
That's free to play, correct?
It
just
is.
Just that mode is free to play? Okay.
And I will say, it's funny, after we did that podcast last week and all that news going around about Bluehole's controversy with them and everything.
They're not Bluehole anymore.
Yeah, what do they call it? Like PUBG the Corporation
PUBG
or something?
Incorporated or something like that, yeah.
But, Fortnite is not backing down, man. Everywhere I go, I see an ad that not only has Battle Royale on it, but it says free to play everywhere on consoles and PC. So I can understand that. I think at one point had 1 million concurrent players.
It's their first day that had 1 million players, yeah.
So I can see, I mean, PUBG's still freaking massive, but I can see to an extent why they'd be a little concerned about it. Another gentleman in the comments later mentioned this. I mean, I had read it as well, but he mentioned that the royalties we discussed are paid based on PUBG's success. So the bigger they get, the more they pay to Epic for using Unreal. So I thought that was another interesting aspect to it. I'm like, well, I can see why they're a little frustrated about this.
This might be a little outdated, but I haven't really looked into it. But the last thing I read is one of the reasons they were pissed off is because they used PUBG in their advertisement, like their initial... You know, when they're talking about it, and they didn't ask for permission to use.
They're just like, hey, we love PUBG. If you like it, you might like this too.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Which I can, I don't know. I don't really know why they're doing
it. I mean, maybe they were like, there's probably a couple layers to this. Part of the team, the marketing team, was like, if we mention PUBG, that's already going to grab people's attention because PUBG is so big. That's one aspect to it. Another aspect, I do believe that people at Epic were like, we love PUBG. That'd be awesome to try this in our own game. I can see there's also a portion of that are like that, but I get the overlying whole goal of that marketing was simply the name PUBG will grab people's attention if they see that this is a free-to-play mode of PUBG available on all platforms. It looks very attractive. So.
And that just those seem weird if they come out and they're like, we have this Battle Royale mode, and like clearly the elephant in the room is, oh, you're ripping off PUBG. Yeah. So it's like they just addressed it. We love PUBG.
Yeah.
So yeah, we know we're copying.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It kind of seems like it's blown over anyways.
Yeah. I will say that after playing it, I do really enjoy it. I mean, that's the thing about Fortnite. I even enjoyed normal Fortnite with, I mean, I love the graphical style to it and the
Fortnite
gameplay
has intrigued me. I don't want to buy it. I want to wait for it to free to play.
I think
Battle Royale's free to play.
And then Founders Pack is like $30 or whatever, right?
It was 60 last time I checked.
60? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to the store and buy it in
an
actual physical copy.
I didn't know that.
But it's early access.
Right, that's strange.
Weird.
It is weird.
But it's going actual free to play next year.
Okay. Because when I got that code, I didn't know if it was free to play for everyone. Because a lot of people seem to be just downloading it. I guess they're downloading it just to play the Battle Royale portion.
Mm-hmm. That's free.
Yes, that is free.
As far as I understand.
Because when you go into Fortnite, it gives you the option play Fortnite or play Battle Royale. Mm-hmm. And I've been clicking Battle Royale.
As far as I know, to actually play Fortnite, base game Fortnite, I think you have to pay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, but right now, Battle Royale specifically is a ton of fun. It was a little buggy. I've heard that they've recently updated to fixing the shooting a bit because there were countless matches when we were doing the stream where I'd shoot the crap out of someone, dude, with a shotgun point blank, and they just would not die and they'd kill me. I'm like, what? And it was glitchy and laggy at a few points.
Uh-huh.
Last I read, they've smooth it out a little bit. It'll probably still take additional updates over time to really clean it up, because the shooting does feel a little janky in that game. Mm-hmm. But playing it with a squad especially is so much fun. But as of right now, it is purely 100% PUBG with a different skin over it.
Nice.
With the exception that you can't drive vehicles. But it is all the same, where you can pick up health packs, and you also can't apply cosmetic items. It's just weapons mm-hmm. and health. That's it. But there's different levels of weapons. I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't played PUBG enough. There are different levels of the same weapon in PUBG where, oh, this is a normal rifle, but this same rifle is like a legendary version.
I don't think so.
Okay, I didn't think that's what it was, because in Fortnite, that's, in like the vanilla version, there's weapons like that. There's different categories mm-hmm. of the same weapon. Same thing in Battle Royale. You can pick up, oh, I found a legendary sniper. It does a little more damage, or it's a little more accurate or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So playing with a squad was fun. There was all four of us. I mean, we swapped out a few people, but always had a consistent four and would jump out of the, I think it's called the Battle Bus. So it's not an airplane, it's a battle bus. Mm. And of course you skydive, but it's not a parachute, it's a glider.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's
play like rooftop Breath of the Wild,
right?
Not PUBG.
But the world is pretty fun. That's the thing about Fortnite, is that it's really fun. And I think that they could take what PUBG is and turn it into their own thing, because the building mechanic obviously makes it a little different. Mm-hmm. But no one has found a good reason to build yet, because the game is so fast paced. I think it's even faster than PUBG, where the force field around you just condenses even quicker than it does in PUBG. So matches are over pretty quick, and we consistently made it to, not at first, the first few rounds I died in like the first 30 seconds, but we finally figured out where to go and where we should go and stuff. And we lasted till the farthest we ever got was in the top three. Mm. Now I made it into the top five. That was my farthest, but I think it was Mr. Maybe or someone else made it into the top three.
Now, are y'all like in a squad? Or
in a squad, yeah. Okay. Squads of four that spawn together.
Gotcha.
And we always, at the very least, we always made it into the top 10 of every round.
Okay.
So it was intense. And at the end, when the circle gets really tiny, you can see people are trying to build like fortresses. Like, oh, we need to hold down a fort. And I love that idea, but no one is really, at least from what I've seen and experienced, no one's really made that a reality yet. Like, people will build like a few walls, yeah. And by the time they're in the middle of building, someone will run up and shoot them when they're not paying attention. So I'd love to see a way they can either, maybe whether it be slowing down the game where people have time to build and like really give the building aspect a reason to exist. Because mm-hmm. I think that could make it totally unique. If not only you can build things, but I was telling people, what if they implemented vehicles into the game? You can drive vehicles, but not only can you drive them, but you can build on top of them. Like, if you have materials, you can add like a turret to your vehicle. You can add like extra defense or tires that won't explode if people shoot them or something. I know that's like a lot to like cram into Fortnite, but if they could really make it their own in that sense, like really build upon the building aspect of the game, I think they can make it its own unique thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many different things they could do with it. So when I was playing it, I was like, this is very basic right now, but I still enjoy it. So I'd like to see them take it in their own direction.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, but I also played a bit of Fable 2, like I mentioned earlier, prior to beginning the podcast. Casey has a 360 at her apartment still, and she has quite a collection. She has Halo 3, Fable 2. What else was in your little thing that I saw, Casey, that I was like, oh, you have this game as well? Yeah, Call of Duty 2 was in there. Just a couple like 360 games that I love that I hadn't played in a long time, like the original versions of them. And of course, I love Fable 2. She has the original Fable as well. But I played some Fable 2. I started a new character and totally had forgotten about just how nostalgic. I didn't expect it to be as nostalgic as I experienced it when I was playing it. It was very nostalgic. And it's funny because Casey played a lot of Fable 2 and she remembered most of the beats of the story more than I did. But it's so funny when you get in there like, Little Sparrow, and you're like running through the alleyways and it's like, you're an Albion. In the beginning, when you play as a little kid and you collect the warrants and the golden coins, you can purchase the music box at the beginning.
I remember that game being, until you got used to the control style, it felt like you were like skating. Or
yes, at the beginning, it does feel like you're skating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even in the real world, yeah, you do have to get used to how it feels. It kind of feels like you're rolling around.
Mm-hmm.
But love the charm that Fable has to it, especially yeah. Fable 1 and 2. And I wanted to play an evil character. I mean, I'd played both good and evil in my original Fable 2 playthroughs, but I think I'm just going to have that at Casey's apartment whenever I need to kill time for like a couple hours when I happen to be there. I'll just play some Fable 2 over time. Well, it's funny. I was like, I was wondering how if Witcher 3 or even Witcher 2, I can't remember when Witcher 2 came out, but if they were even slightly inspired by Fable in a way. Because, you know, Fable's similar in a sense where it's an open world and you have melee combat and you have magical abilities and everything. Like, there's the shock ability and the fire ability and force push and everything. Similar to The Witcher, but Fable's very much like the kiddie version of The Witcher. So I was wondering if that was even a factor. Not that it matters, but I was just curious about that, because after playing Witcher 3 and then going back to Fable 2, I'm like, oh, it's kind of like Witcher 3, just a kiddie version of it. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. And it's funny playing a bad guy. You're the old lady who kind of like guides you through the game, like judges all of your decisions, and always makes me feel even worse. Like even when I try to play a bad guy in games, I still feel bad. And I was like, I want to be bad. I still feel bad about it. But it's a lot of fun. So it was great being back in that world.
Yeah, I have good memories of Fable 2, primarily marrying two people at the same time just to get the achievement.
I was telling Casey about that.
And I like hid the my least favorite, the out of the two, the one I hated the most. Or my I stayed married to the first girl I married the entirety of the game. I remember you told me when there's a part where you go off to a prison and you come back and you said your wife left you.
She did.
And I was like just so sad that she was going to leave me, and I came back and she was still there. She's like, I waited for you. And I was like, oh my God, I was so happy. So I held on to her, and we had like the castle. I had her living in the castle with like my children running around and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's this achievement. You got to be married to two people.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to ruin our marriage.
Yeah.
So I married this random chick who's just super easy to marry, moved her in this dumpy house like that I owned. I owned like everything there. Yeah. Some dumpy house, moved her in, achievement popped, blew her head off.
Yeah. Instantly killed her.
Instantly killed her. I remember you could like, aim, hold like wire or something and like aim for different parts of the body. So I just, I turned off the, didn't you have to like turn off a setting to kill somebody?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I turned that off, blew her head off. I remember I like sprinted towards my wife and she was pissed off for a second.
Yeah.
Like I was like, how did you know I even did any of this? I wasn't around you, but she was fine after that. Had my, had my achievement.
That's funny. So, she had no idea.
No idea.
What an idiot.
Yeah. Right.
I was telling Casey funny stories about my wife. I probably told him on the podcast forever ago. My first wife, like you mentioned, left me when I went to prison. Cause I guess I didn't give her enough gifts and stuff before I went off to prison. I think I just married her before I went off to that prison and I didn't think that it would do anything, which is one of the things I loved about Fable. Even though I was sad, I was like, oh, my wife left me. At the same time, I was like, that's so cool that she left me like that. But a second wife was slaughtered. My children were slaughtered by goblins. I came back to my home and they were had infested my home and my wife was dead on the front lawn, which I also was amazed by but also bummed out about. So third wife worked out and I moved them into one, you know, those statues, like those faces on the wall that he'll talk
to
you.
The one in the wheat fields?
Yeah, the one where you go into him and he has like, he's like a portal into a different world, and there's like a meadow and like a nice cottage there. That's where I moved them into that different, they weren't even practically in Albion anymore. They're like in a different realm. So like no one would ever bother them.
See, I had my family there too. And one of my kids got stolen by goblins and I had to go to this cave and save
like
him.
Rescue him.
Yeah, I was like, how did you get through this interdimensional portal and steal my kid and go to this random cave with him? But I kept him there until the I got the castle.
Nice. So, yeah, I remember having the castle at one point too.
Yeah,
it's funny, I remember a lot of Fable 2. There's a lot of, also a lot of vague things.
Do you oh my gosh, I played the crap out of that. I thousanded it on Xbox. I remember there was this one achievement where I had to like collect these dolls and I had to like get on a message board and talk to somebody because you had to trade them.
Yeah.
And this one person came to my game and just gave me all the dolls and got me my last achievement. That was a memory because I spent forever trying to figure out how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember the DLC where you could get like the auto rifle from Halo as one of your weapons?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that's funny.
I forgot. That's the only thing I remember from the DLC. Mm-hmm. But Fable 2, good game. Never played the third one because I've never heard anybody in the world say it was good.
Yeah, did not like it at all. I mean, I loved the idea. Like, you're the king and you make all these political decisions and you have like a room of gold that you can go into and actually see your currency in a physical form and stuff. You could hold people's hands. I'm like, I like all those little things, but something about it was just not fun.
Yeah, from what I saw, Angry Joe has a really good video about that game. It's like 32 reasons Fable 3 sucks. Mm-hmm. I remember watching that when it came out and completely got me to not buy it.
Yeah.
So, I really, really, really hope they reboot that series.
Me too.
Especially
so
with how
potential
RPGs are now.
Mm-hmm.
Just get Peter Molyneux away from it. Yeah. Just let
I'm wondering how much of his input went into the charm of Fable, though. Like, I don't know if it was really his creative direction that had it be
I'm
that
sure
way. I've always loved the charm, despite how bad Fable 3 was in comparison to the first two. So I don't know.
I just want to play a Fable game in a post-Witcher
Me too.
Elder Scrolls world.
As do I. That's one of my favorite things about Fable 2, as well as how all of your decisions and all of your the way you level up is reflected physically on your character. Yeah. Like if you want to be stronger, you physically become bigger and taller.
But there's a lot of also things that I kind of thought were odd even back then. It's like you can't create your own character.
Yeah, I always wanted that to be a feature too.
There's a lot of customization that's kind of taken away as well. It seems like if you're the good guy, you're going to look the exact same as the other guy.
You'll just have a halo.
Exactly. So it's just like our characters look the exact same.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, everybody's have the exact same character. Minus like clothes and stuff. I'm sure that's different.
Yeah.
But
I remember my evil guy. Of course, you grow the horns and the red eyes and everything, but I intentionally died over and over and over. You had to get all the different scars. I think I got to a point where I couldn't get any more scars. I just was so effed up looking, and it looked awesome.
Didn't your dog change with you as well?
Yeah, your dog would turn black and have red eyes.
You'd have like a golden retriever.
Yeah, it was the other one.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, yeah, just I loved how that game made me feel back in the day and playing it yesterday. I was like, I loved this so much. So
I remember when it came out, people were hyped. I remember kids at my high school were had it pre-ordered and stuff, and I had never even played the first one, so I had no clue what the game even was.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's all I played this week.
Sounds good, man. Well, this is the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my best friend and I get together every single week to discuss video games, obviously. You can find all of our content, including the video version of this podcast, over at youtube.com/It's Obvious Gaming. If YouTube is not good for you, or you'd like to take us on the go, you can find this podcast weekly on Audioboom, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, and other podcasting services. Please check the description down below for time codes to skip throughout the podcast, links to our social media pages, PlayStation Community, Xbox Club, and other our Discord channel, and just pretty much anywhere to connect with us. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel and be sure to like and comment down below to get involved with the It's Obvious community. Doing so helps us out tremendously, and we would forever be in your debt. With all that out of the way, hey man, what's the news?
I tried to replicate every word you just spoke last week, and it did not work out.
I listened. You did a good job.
That's a lot you have to say there, and it's all very relevant, and it's wonderful. You just have it memorized perfectly.
Thank you. And when I was in Minnesota, when I was working, I just said it over and over in my head so much that it's permanently engraved back there.
That's great. So it's like tattooed into your brain.
Pretty much.
That's great.
I'm going to be like 80 years old on my deathbed. Well, hopefully I live past. I'm going to be 105 years old on my deathbed. And I'll be able to say it.
Great.
To you as we look each other in the eyes.
It'll be your dying breath.
Yeah. We'll be in hospital beds together holding hands.
Hey, man, what's the news?
Yeah.
Our monitor just goes down. Excellent. Just one tear falls from my eyes.
Yeah.
And then I blow my head off.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Because I'll be with you forever. Life's not worth living if I'm not there.
All right. I guess if Casey's dead, I'll just go ahead and end it.
We'll just end it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll be able to transport our brains into video games at that point.
Speaking of that idea, that's a perfect segue. Let's talk about that Battlefront 2 story scene that came out.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Good.
How did you feel about this scene, Preston?
I thought it was cool.
It was cool.
I almost didn't watch it because I don't want to really watch anything because I'm actually excited to play that.
I've seen enough now. That's all I needed to see. I wanted just a taste of the story.
Yeah.
And it looks awesome. Yeah. I can't remember any of the characters' names, or specifically the main character. I keep forgetting her
name.
That's
Betty.
Betty. That's right. Correct.
Betty with the Infernal Troopers.
Infernal Troopers. I think they're called Inferno Squad.
Yeah. The Fire Guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got Betty and Sergeant Bill talking to her.
Two of the most famous Star Wars characters of all time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we saw them hanging out on, I assume, a Star Destroyer of some sort, and the Emperor appear in what looked like one of those Red Guard's suits, but like on a screen.
Yeah.
Like he was a... I can't even think of the word, Preston.
Yeah. What was that Johnny Depp movie where he put his brain into the computer? After he died or something?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what that's called.
That's what's going on here.
And probably, yeah.
At least I think so.
Emperor's face projected through this machine, I guess some sort of droid.
Yeah.
Talking to the main character and that other guy. So I don't know if he's still alive or that's something he pre-recorded or if it, like we mentioned, like his conscience or something through the force that's doing that. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because he's supposed to be dead when the Death Star blows up.
Yeah.
I mean, also, Darth Vader threw him down that shaft.
Yeah.
So he's probably dead.
That blew up, too, right?
Yeah, so he should be a goner.
Yeah. Maybe he had a USB drive that he like plugged into something and uploaded his brain.
Yeah. I will say the
just this USB dongle in the back of his head he plopped out.
As he's falling. Yeah. Like it'd be so funny if they add a scene as he's falling, he like takes that out and like sticks it.
He's like laying at the bottom, there's a computer and he just slides it in.
That would be ridiculous. I'm hoping we see a little Vader before like at the opening of the game. I'd love to see Vader say something to an Inferno squad or something before That'd they be go cool. on their mission to what's the Ewoks planet? I always forget.
Endor.
Endor, you're right.
Yeah,
yeah, you killed it, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it a moon of Endor? It's a moon of Endor, isn't it?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
You've lost me now.
Me too.
I didn't even know they were on a moon at that point.
Yeah, I call myself a Star Wars fan, man. Whenever we turn
moons
on,
are made out of cheese. They don't have trees on them.
We know that from Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah.
So yeah, whenever we turn on the camera and the mics go live, mm-hmm. My brain just shuts down to facts I could say any other day, but on the mm-hmm. podcast, they are absent from my mind for some reason.
Yeah. I know Endor has the Wookiee creatures running around.
Yeah, the Ewoks.
The Ewoks running around, yeah.
The most lovable characters in Star Wars, aside from now the Porgs, probably. You've seen what a Porg looks like?
No.
It's like a little penguin on the island where Luke hangs out.
That's cool.
So, Porgs.
Yep. Sounds like a nasty name.
Porg?
Porg.
Sound kind of like
sound
pug.
Sound cute. Oh, that's true. Never mind. I withdraw that statement.
Okay. The animation looks gorgeous. And it looks cool. It looks very intriguing. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah,
I assume that's shortly after the Death Star blows up. They make their way back up to a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
Talk it out. What now?
Or what if it's before? It could be before. We didn't think about that.
I'll have to rewatch
and
it.
And he's just talking to her through like a really sophisticated FaceTime.
Yeah.
Or something.
Technically, it'd be ancient.
Yeah.
An ancient FaceTime.
Right. Long time ago.
Right. But I think based on the dialogue, it sounded like they were talking about post-Death Star blowing up.
Yeah,
I'll have to watch it again.
About. Okay.
I watched it in like the middle of a class or something at school. Mm. So
okay.
I can't remember.
All right.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, looks cool.
There's no new Vita on the horizon, Preston. Which, got to be honest, doesn't really upset me at all.
Nah.
So.
I mean, I would have, if they would have announced one, I would have been hyped.
Yeah, sure.
But we kind of assumed. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to see them combat the Switch, but alas.
Yeah. The reasoning is comes from Andrew House. He says, quote, "The Vita experience was that outside of Japan and Asia, there was not a huge demand." He continued by saying the lifestyle shift toward the dominance of smartphones as the single key device that is always with you was the determining factor. And he later said that, of course, the Nintendo Switch is a monster right now, even though it's not fully a handheld. It's a hybrid mm-hmm. between home console gaming and a handheld. He said that they don't really feel like combating it. Which I don't blame them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that doesn't really upset me either because, I mean, I liked my Vita a lot, but I never was crazy about it.
Yeah, same.
So, even PSP, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Switch is way cooler.
Yeah, I agree, totally.
I love the Switch.
Volition had to lay off quite a few people, Preston.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Which that's always sad.
Due to good old Agents of Mayhem, which I was unaware reviewed quite poorly among a lot of outlets.
Okay.
So
it was like sixes and sevens and stuff.
Yeah. Based the general consensus I've gathered from those reviews is that it's just very repetitive and just lifeless.
I don't think anybody knew what it was. Yeah. I would see trailers and I'm like, this looks like a multiplayer game.
I think it was intended to be a co-op hero shooter because when I played it, you could choose between one of the four characters and you're sent out on missions. And of course you can play cooperative with other people, but I played in single player. You pick hero. You can?
No.
Okay. That's weird.
Yeah. That is weird.
It's just a hero shooter.
It's your single player game.
That begs for co-op.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I feel like that would have helped sales, but still.
I'm just saying, that's what I assumed it was a big cooperative game where you're playing as different heroes, but no, strictly single player game.
This makes no sense. I know you can switch heroes at will in the middle of missions too, because I did that multiple times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It felt good to play. Mm-hmm. It felt fine, but I only played one mission. When I played it, I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. I didn't want to purchase it after that. Yeah. I was like, oh, that was fine. But
it's kind of just like a fart in the pan. Just nothing really.
I mean, let's be honest. Agents of Mayhem just sounds like one of those games you'd see at GameStop that you had never heard of before.
Oh, yeah. So it looks like a bargain bin game. It sounds like a bargain bin game.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's, you know, like you said, it's not a god-awful game. It just really didn't cause a stir with anybody, you know?
Yeah.
And that sucks because, you know, they make good games. Saints Row is a cool game, and it sucks that, you know, I know companies like downsize after big jobs and stuff, so I don't know if this is the case of that, but you never like seeing that people are laid off and stuff. It's never good.
Well, the news comes from Timur Hussein from GameSpot, and he says, Saints Row developer Volition has laid off over 30 people, according to Kotaku, which names the studio's general manager, Dan Cermak, as one of the people among those affected. The studio's last major release, Agents of Mayhem, failed to make a big impact critically, and according to Kotaku's three sources, parent company Deep Silver was, quote, unhappy with sales. So, I'd imagine that's the case, and it does suck to hear that, but at the same time...
What does Deep Silver publish that they're happy with sales for?
Other than Saints Row?
I guess.
I don't know.
They seem just like that... I don't know, I'm not even close to the only person saying this, but like everything they published is just kind of
whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe whatever.
I guess it was just sold way worse than Saints Row typically sells.
They did like Mighty Number 9. They published that.
Did they?
Yeah. Homefront. They published that too, I think. Yeah.
Yikes. Maybe the publisher's just panicking. Like, we got to start firing people. We're all going to lose our jobs. Well, Preston, that brings us to the PlayStation Plus games for October, the free games for October, which is, as of today, we're recording this on Sunday, October 1st. Now, we'll say it was a very nice day here in Atlanta, Georgia. It felt wonderful. It actually feels like fall, but knowing Atlanta, tomorrow it'll probably be 90 degrees again, which really saddens me. But fall is here and a lot of great games on the horizon for free. I shouldn't say a lot. There's a couple. First and foremost, of course, is Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. You like this game, don't you, Preston?
I think it's great, but it never gets me.
Yeah, I've never understood that.
It pisses me off.
Yeah.
I even tried recently to get back into it, and I was having so much fun. And then, like, a week goes by, and I just have no urge to go back to it.
Yeah.
But it's so good. It's such a good free game.
It is. That's amazing. I mean, I loved Metal Gear Solid 5, and I have to say that I've never played any other Metal Gear before that. Now, I've seen many of them, and I've watched buddies play them in the past. I watched Zach Rivera play the majority but a handful of the missions from Metal Gear Solid 4. Guns of the Patriots, I believe it was called. Such
really
a cool
quick.
Title. So many cool titles.
So Deep Silver apparently published Shin Megami Tensei series, which I see Persona on here. Did they publish Persona?
Did they?
Did they publish? I think so. Maybe. I can't see. I don't know. I see the picture on the Wikipedia page. Whatever. Besides that, they're not really doing anything too hot. Continue. Sorry.
Sucks. Amnesia Collection, which also includes The Dark Descent and Machine for Pigs.
Yeah. I've heard Machine for Pigs is not even close to as scary as the first one. Still a good game, though.
Okay.
I know we played the demo of Amnesia, and that was enough for us.
Was it not?
Huh?
You mean as in the sense that it's scary?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember Amnesia. I'd watch videos of people playing that game, and it scared the crap out of me.
I think with it being the Halloween season, Jacob and I should play through Amnesia together.
Okay.
As a series.
Okay.
Can't take that long. I think we'd have a good time with it. Monster Jam Battlegrounds for PS3. That is one I've been waiting for so long.
Haven't we all?
Yeah. Hustle Kings for PS3.
Okay.
Never heard of it. Hue on PS Vita. Crossfire on PS4.
It's the color game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hence the word hue.
Hence, yes.
The definition of hue is a color's base, or a base hue is, I don't know how to say the definition anymore. Yeah. Hue is the base version of a color. I've heard from color theory class.
Yeah, we all know you took a color theory class. Real cool.
It's funny because
I'm coming in handy now.
I like half-assed. I've never half-assed a class more than I did in color theory, and I somehow came out with like almost an A.
That's
I had like
game,
an 88
then.
In that class.
You need to get on that.
It's like maybe subliminal, not really subliminally, but I had turned my brain off in that class, but somehow the information was still going into my ear, even though I wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
So.
That's your game.
It is, yeah, Hugh.
Yeah.
Skyforce Anniversary for Vita. Cross by with both PS3 and PS4.
Okay.
Yeah, Metal Gear and Amnesia, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think I traded in Metal Gear, so maybe I'll just download it so I still have it.
Okay.
Just whenever I feel like going back to it at some point. I was trying to S-rank all those missions not too long ago.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll finish that.
Yeah.
Because that was the funnest I had playing the game, was doing those missions like that. Games with Gold for October are also here, Preston. Gone Home, console
Gone
edition.
Home.
I got about, I think Jake and I did a Let's Play for that. and I was not at all interested after like the first 20 minutes.
How dare you? That's a critical darling.
Right.
I beat it.
And?
It was fine. It was too late. I had already heard everything.
I think that's why I didn't finish it, because it was totally spoiled for me.
Yeah, it does. I would have liked to have played it when it first initially came out, not knowing anything, because it does give really creepy vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is really cool, thinking that something's going to jump out at you and it never does.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry if I just ruined that for somebody that hasn't played it yet.
Potentially.
But
just like someone ruined it for you.
Yep.
Exactly. People say bullies bully other people because they've once been bullied. So it's no better than a bully, Preston.
I guess so. I feel like there's no way you haven't played this game by now if you've wanted to play it. So
I'd imagine so.
Especially if you're listening to us.
Have we talked about it? I guess
we've talked about it a bit. I mean, if you're into video games enough to listen to people talk about video games, you probably know about Gone Home by now. So
probably. The Turing test. I don't know what you
mean. I don't know what that is.
I know what the Turing test is.
I've never heard
in history, but I don't know what the game's like. I don't know if he plays Alan Turing himself.
I don't know.
Or what?
Why don't you go ask him?
I can find out. I can go find his grave and ask him there. Perhaps he'll respond.
Okay.
In a ghost-like form.
Okay.
Doubtful, but it's worth a shot, I guess. Rayman 3 HD. Did we play Rayman 3? I know we played Rayman Legends.
I think that is the... It's not the 2D game. I think it's like the 3D game.
Okay.
I had Rayman 2 on Nintendo 64. I liked it.
Alrighty. Medal of Honor Airborne's coming.
I remember that game. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
I never played Airborne.
You could... It's like PUBG. You could parachute.
So PUBG ripped off Medal of Honor
exactly,
Airborne.
Exactly, yeah. You ever played it? It was awesome. You could parachute out of a plane and land wherever you wanted to
for
in
the mission?
This level. Yeah,
that's cool.
And you just had objectives you had to run around and complete.
Okay, that's kind of fun.
It was cool.
I think the last Medal of Honor... I played European Assault, and what's the one that came out right after that? Was it Airborne, or was it something else?
I don't remember.
I feel like it was something else with Assault on the end.
Airborne was like one of the last World War II ones.
Okay. Because I played European Assault was always my favorite Medal of Honor. I loved European Assault.
That was a good one. That was the first one I actually played all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I had Frontline and stuff. I don't think I ever beat it.
You never beat Rising Sun?
No.
Man.
I never owned that.
I loved Rising Sun.
I remember you had
it.
Yeah. I played the first level at Pearl Harbor. But that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love both those games. And they may suck now. I don't know. But I loved them as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got here? Oh, that's all of them.
Okay.
Preston, let's talk about Red Dead Redemption 2. This is our main topic.
Let's do it.
The trailer from Rockstar debuted on Thursday, correct?
Yes, Thursday at 11 a.m.
Yes. Did you watch it live?
I did watch it live.
So did I.
Yep. I was watching the IGN stream, and they had no audio. So I was like,
I saw that, yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. But
They fixed it right after.
Yeah, they like rewound. They started it over and fixed it. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, first impressions are, man, that's pretty.
Very pretty.
I told you at lunch today, I completely forgot that this is really their first game from, you know, the ground up
for this generation.
Mm-hmm. I always forget that GTA 5 was on 360 and PS3.
Which amazes me to think about.
Yeah. And just kind of seeing just in terms of just the, even just the faces, the facial animations and stuff from GTA 5 compared to Red Dead 2 is... just such a drastic change.
Like, it is.
It looks so good. So graphically, it looks amazing. It is a prequel, which they kind of confirm at the end when he talks about the Vanderlyn gangs at it and Dutch
right.
Being in that. So this is a new character, Arthur Morgan. He seems pretty cool. From the looks of it, it looks like we're just playing as him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could be wrong, but that's kind of what the trailer hinted at. It kind of was just focused around him, which I'm totally fine with.
Yeah, I'm cool with that too.
I'm totally good with that. I enjoyed swapping characters in GTA 5 and stuff, but...
I think that was just enough of that style of gameplay.
Exactly.
For me.
I don't want every single Rockstar from now on doing something like that. Mm-hmm. I just like having this character that you follow him through, and he seems cool. It'll be cool playing as a bad guy for the most part, and I wonder if he'll have a change of heart or if to the end you're ride or die with this gang.
Maybe.
So I think both
are you
could be cool.
Involved with this gang? I have not done my research. I haven't listened to people analyze the trailer. I watched the trailer once.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay,
I'm
cool.
I'm pretty sure you're a part of the gang. I know the statement that Rockstar released was very vague. Mm-hmm. There's like, he plays Arthur Morgan and you... there's this gang, the vendor, whatever it is, the Vanderlyn gang is here and stuff. So I'm pretty sure. Oh, it says you like commit heists and crimes and stuff. So yeah, I'm pretty sure you're a part of this gang.
Man, I'm so excited. It just, it still said spring 2018.
Spring 2018.
Okay. Yep. I was hoping for a date out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll get any other information.
I was hoping for some gameplay.
Me too.
Personally, I thought with them pumping it, like hyping it up, saying that, hey, we got something coming your way, that it was going to be something substantial, but kind of short, short and sweet.
I mean, it looks gorgeous. I'm very excited, but I will admit that when I first saw the trailer, because I was playing Divinity and I had my laptop open right next to me. I watched the trailer and as soon as it ended, I was like, huh. And I just like went right back to playing Divinity. Yeah. Didn't even think twice about it. Because I think I just had it up, made it up in my mind. Like, we're going to get a date. I mean, I didn't expect gameplay necessarily, but I thought for sure we would get a date. But upon reflection, I thought about it some more and I saw screenshots in front from it from various headlines of articles that I also did not read. But it looks amazing and I cannot wait to see more. But I get the feeling we're not going to see gameplay till the turn of the year. I don't think we'll see gameplay till February or March at least. So I could be wrong, but we'll see. What are you looking up right now?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing related to that.
Okay.
Sorry. But yeah, I agree with you. Which I'm fine with. I would love to just go into this game not seeing anything. Just
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
I do want to see just a wee bit of gameplay because I can't help myself. I want to see it.
I just want a classic dude talking.
I love that guy.
Red Dead 2, you can skin a cow.
Yeah.
make a freaking saddle out of it.
I think one of the funniest comments I saw on the IGN Live thing was someone was like, but can you still shoot your horse in the head and skin it?
That'd be cool.
Like, kill your own horse.
Hey, there's bow and arrows.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's exciting. Got a little stealth action in there.
Got to have a bow and arrow in anything.
Totally.
I hope they fix the shooting. Because as much as I love Rockstar games,
it's always felt stiff.
Their shooting has always just not felt right.
Mm. Now, it's very satisfying to shoot things.
Yeah, just in terms of the physics of the bodies as they fall down and stuff. That's satisfying.
But it always felt a little stiff.
Yeah, it's always just kind of...
And I think that's why they have such crazy aim assist if you want it. Like, you can straight up just lock on to people.
Yeah.
So I'd love to have shooting that, and this is a long shot, but shooting that feels as good as, like, Uncharted, for example.
Oh, maybe on PC, since the frame rate is so much higher, that's not a problem on PC.
Maybe.
That's just something that the consoles have to deal with.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we don't even know if this is coming to PC.
We don't. Maybe eventually.
Maybe eventually.
At least at launch, perhaps not.
Yeah.
We will see.
We will see. Well, it's cool. I was kind of, when it came out, like you kind of said, I was like, eh. But the more I watch it, the more I'm kind of pumped. They don't really even need to show me anything to get pumped for this. I know it's going to be awesome.
Right. I think that's why, because I know it will be awesome.
Yeah.
So, which I guess is a good and bad thing. I mean, I know when it gets closer to launch, I will be extremely excited.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's Rockstar, I have like the utmost faith in them.
Yeah. Because
they've just proven time and time again, they crank out amazing games.
Yeah.
So
exactly,
but maybe this will be the exception.
Maybe.
What are some features? I don't know if we've gone into too much detail about this, but what are some features you'd like to see in Red Dead 2 in comparison to the first one? Like, did you ever feel like anything was missing from Red Dead 1, as far as a Western world was concerned?
Not really. It kind of seemed.
That's the thing about Rockstar games. It's not an RPG, so it'd be weird if like, oh, you can buy a ranch and have cattle and stuff and have income. I mean, maybe that'd be kind of
cool.
Like, to garner more income, you can have a ranch and like sell cattle.
Yeah,
and
I don't want like a skill tree or anything.
No,
I don't think they would do that. So that's not their game.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about skills, but I would like to see certain things in the world that maybe weren't in the
first one. I'd like the heist from GTA 5. I'd kind of like to do something like that in Red Dead, like robbing a train, like just really epic things.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, just more set piece moments.
Definitely.
Than, Red Dead, the first one had.
I would love that.
We had a few. Like, the one that stands out in my brain, which it wasn't even action-y, but it was riding into Mexico for the first time.
That was awesome.
I thought that was awesome. And, of course, the ending.
Classic.
I think the story is... I feel like I'm probably going to be disappointed with the story.
You think so?
Because the first one was so good. I don't know how you can just up that. Yeah. I hope they can.
Kind of like Grand Theft Auto 5 story. I don't remember really even what the story was about.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
But coming off of Red Dead, I was like, man, after Red Dead, this has got to be insane. And it was good. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Grand Theft Auto 2 not Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption 2 Online has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Coming off of Grand Theft Auto Online, obviously they know of the success and massive fan base that GTA Online has. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's really where they could get away and capitalize off of having a house and belongings like you do in GTA Online. Like, you have multiple properties and vehicles. Like, what if you could purchase horses and a ranch, and someone has like this giant piece of land they've purchased or something online? I don't know. Of course, it's different in a Western game, because in a city you can have like, oh, I have this high rise apartment.
Yeah, it's just.
But in a
I'd
Western,
be
like,
to see what they do with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's so much more potential and like possibility, and like all their updates, like the crazy tracks and the heists and stuff, which I'm sure heists will be probably a part of this online, but just all their craziness.
Yeah, you're limited in Red Dead because it isn't like, oh, how long can you enjoy a horse race?
Yeah, you
That'd
can't,
be so boring.
You can't customize your horse and stuff. I mean, you can, but you can't like even close to it. I mean, you can't put, you know, there's, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, there's only so much you can do with a horse. There's only that with this world, there's only so much you can do, as opposed to with GTA 5, just the possibilities are like limitless with what you can do with that world and stuff. So you can make it crazy with jetpacks and stuff, and just all that is complete. You can't do that in Red Dead.
No.
So I don't know. I'll be interested to see what they kind of do. I mean, they have to be thinking that as well. So I don't know. Maybe that's not. Of course, I think they'll want to have a big online portion of Red Dead, but I'm sure they're still going to be pushing GTA 5 as well, even through that
game. Yeah, no doubt. As long as there's people that continue to return to GTA Online, they're going to support that forever.
Maybe Red Dead will just kind of be their bigger push for single-player content. They might actually put out a single-player campaign and kind of still support the multiplayer for some point, or for maybe forever, depending on how many people are playing it. But like you said, there's only so much you can really do with the online Red Dead, unless we are just clueless. And you know, they're obviously geniuses over there, so they might have tons of ideas that are.
I hope they surprise us.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, I'm far more interested in the single player component versus multiplayer, but I do hope they surprise us with both,
absolutely,
with things to do.
So. I agree.
Yeah, other than that, I mean, it's not much else to say because we're still so limited with what we've seen. But one aspect I know, of course, everyone knows, they changed the numerical 2 to the Roman numeral 2, which I think looks a little cooler.
Yeah.
So that Western-y looking 2 looked funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Other than that, it looks awesome. So I'm excited for it.
I agree.
But, Preston, that brings us to community questions. We received quite a few this week, as we have in the last few weeks, which continues to blow my mind, because all of you guys are amazing with your questions, and we cannot thank you enough. So, shout out to each and every one of you who continues to support the community questions aspect of this show. We did not end up doing Ask IOG last week because it was going to be rushed because of the audio boom situation. I'm going to have a little bit more time to set that up, and Jacob and I will have a better night this week to knock that out together. I think it's because Thursday he was doing something. I think he might have been at work and he was not able to do it.
Okay.
So we are going to make up for that this week, because we have so many wonderful ones to get to. But if you want to reach us for community questions or a question on Ask IOG, you can reach us in one of three places to submit your questions. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming. And you can also reach us on our Discord channel and submit them via the Ask IOG section.
If y'all do it this week, I'm probably going to come do it with y'all.
Like present?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I already told you I have to go pick up something.
Right.
So I'll be up here.
I can do it any night but Monday and Wednesday.
So whatever works. Same here.
Whatever works best for you, I will do it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. And if you send us a question anywhere, then and you want it for sure read on one of the two shows, always include the hashtag AskIOG so that we know you want it read on the show. But if you just want to talk, feel free to message us, and we'd love to hear from you.
Thanks,
yeah, that
guys.
Brings us to question number one. It comes from Alec Walker. He says, what's your favorite cutscene in a game? Twist revealed or something like that?
This is a hard one.
Yeah, there's a lot of great cutscenes out there.
There are.
I'm going to go ahead and address an easy one. This is a cop-out. I won't say it's my favorite, but it's one of my favorites. It's the ending cutscene from The Last of Us. Just how powerful it is.
There's a scene in The Last of Us where some people you meet along the way, something horrific happens to them.
Yeah.
And that scene always sticks with me.
It's funny,
you know,
like,
I'm talking about?
Almost The Last of Us in its entirety is incredible.
Yeah. Just that part was so just... we can say the beginning also with Joel and Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
That I mean, I ran into our room and was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, that's one of the craziest openings to a game ever.
Yeah, just, yeah, there's so many from Last of Us. But the one primarily with, I'll be as vague as possible, the suicide, man.
Yeah.
That was intense. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. Like, there's so many cutscenes in that game just with Joel popping that dude's kneecap and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we were just like, gah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say just that game in general just has so many intense things happening.
I downloaded The Last of Us Part 2 dynamic theme for PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
It's very lovely. Sounds, and peaceful. Have you downloaded it?
No, not yet. I saw, yeah, Persona jamming. It's, mm-hmm, my background.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's just that shot from the trailer with the stop, mm-hmm, sign. It just goes back and forth very slowly, but you hear, yeah, just birds chirping and wind blowing and the trees and everything. And there's no, that's music. Cool. It just sounds very peaceful like that, which is great because I had the Lawbreakers theme for a while. And it's just most obnoxious music every time I turn on my... Yeah. Every time I turn on my PlayStation, so it's nice to have just,
dude, the Last forest. Of Us 2. I'm excited for that.
I'm about to poop just thinking about,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had to poop the entire podcast, but that alone is forcing it out of me.
Yeah. That's so. Going to just be insane. But that's good. I know, especially now, this game gets a lot of crap, but that final cutscene for BioShock Infinite.
I love that scene.
That was great.
I love it.
Gave me goosebumps, mm-hmm, even when I watch it now. So good. Just when the three Elizabeths come out.
Yeah.
Oh, so cool.
I won't beat this dead horse any longer, but of course I love the ending of Halo 3.
Yeah.
My favorite ending of all time.
We know.
Mm-hmm.
Red Dead Redemption ending cutscene is great.
Yeah.
It like is. The ending one,
mm-hmm,
where he turns around and the guitar goes.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. It's great.
That's a cool one. I know all these, I'm being so vague. I just don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many cutscenes. It's like they're all bleeding together. It's time to look around my room here. I love a lot of the cutscenes from Batman Arkham Origins.
Yeah, those were good.
Especially with the Joker.
The Joker reveal?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Those were fun ones.
I like Uncharted 4 had a ton of great ones, especially the one where Nathan and Elena sit down and they're eating dinner.
Yeah, that's an awesome
talking.
Scene.
That's just,
yeah,
so, I don't know, for it to not just be crazy or anything, that, mm-hmm, was just
great
such
scene.
A great scene, just showing...
Like the characters.
Their, yeah, exactly.
It's, yeah, great. I don't know if you can consider it a cutscene, because I think it's in-game, but you're not really playing, you're just kind of watching the scene. I love the twist reveal in Call of Duty Black Ops.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The reason why I say that is because I saw the poster back there. It actually came through for me for once, my poster wall.
Okay.
And I love that twist reveal.
I love all the cutscenes of the Elder Scrolls series.
Yes.
All none of them.
Yeah. There's so many games,
that's
man.
That's probably it for me. Those are good ones.
Yeah. I mean, there's a billion out there. Mm. How about the scene from Gears 3? Where,
which one?
Dom's death.
Dom's death. That's a good one.
That's a fun one. Very sad.
Took me by surprise.
Yeah. I think that's about all for me. I love countless scenes from Halo 3. I'm not going to talk about all of them. I love the scene where Arbiter kills the guy who says he's truth. I always forget his name, but that's an awesome scene. Badass.
I'd say overall, I'd have to pick from The Last of Us. Even if we're talking about cutscene-wise, that game just...
What about the Order 1886, man?
Yeah,
it's practically a film.
The whole game.
Yeah.
The whole game's a cutscene.
All like 6 hours of it.
Yeah. If you haven't played that game, I think you need to play it.
That's a fun
one.
It's
like $3 now.
If they announce a sequel, I will replay the first one.
Okay.
So
I would be somewhat... I would be hyped for a sequel.
That's what I...
It ended
kind of
cool
there.
I think it ended cool. You were like Batman of London.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looked like it anyways.
Yeah.
So
I did love the lore in that game. I thought it was so cool.
Game gets crapped on too much. Mm-hmm. I don't think it deserves it that much.
I think it
deserves some crapping on, but not that much.
Right. Josh Scriber says... Hey guys, hope you all had a great week. October is going to be here, which it is here as of today, and no time and so will the games. Which of the Elite Four will sell the best? Shadow of War, Evil Within 2, AC Origins, or Wolfenstein 2? Mm-hmm. I say Shadow of War will blow the rest out of the water because the first one did so well at putting the player in charge of everything because it was so engaging. What do you think, Preston? Which one will sell the best?
This is me just pulling it out of my butt because I don't even know the sales numbers from Shadow of Mordor. I'm pretty sure I've heard people say that it didn't do as good as they wanted it to do. But
yeah,
I think
just critically it did very well.
Yeah, it did critically well. I think Origins is going to sell better than Shadow of War.
I think Shadow of War and Origins will be the top two, and I agree. I think Origins will be number one.
I would love for Wolfenstein to be the best selling.
That would be awesome.
I hope it just that game doesn't get the Dishonored 2 treatment.
Me too.
Where it just
I've seen a lot more gameplay from it, and it looks so good.
It's incredible.
I cannot wait
to play it. I'm just scared for that game. I hope it sells well.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to enjoy it, whether a lot of people play it or not.
Yeah, but we can enjoy it all we want to, but if it doesn't sell, then we're not getting a third one.
I know.
It just depresses me. Like I said, just about Dishonored.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll see.
Yeah, but I think Origins will sell better.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see how it sells. I mean, of course, it'll sell well because it's Assassin's Creed, but in comparison to the last few. I know it seems to be a pretty positive reception from a lot of the trailers and gameplay I see nowadays. I mean, when it first was revealed, a lot of people were like, this looks janky and crappy.
Yeah.
But I see a bit more positivity in comment sections these days regarding AC Origins.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it is accepted critically.
I think as far as I've seen in terms of gameplay, I think Shadow of War will play better.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've played both, and Shadow of War just felt insanely better to play. But AC Origins looked beautiful. The world is incredible, and I was really interested in the characters, but gameplay, just Shadow of War felt so much better.
Yeah, and I think Shadow of, you know, obviously Assassin's Creed is an established franchise, and I think a lot more people... Or especially with the good word of mouth that's getting, or like, oh, they took a year off, it's coming back, this is going to be good. And obviously the people that aren't even in the realm of following video games, they see Assassin's Creed, they're like, oh, new one in Egypt, cool.
Yeah.
Whereas they see like Shadow of War, whereas Lord of the Rings isn't even on that box due to legality, you know, issues and stuff. It's just Shadow of War, Middle Earth. I feel like unless you know about games and knew about the first one or played the first one, I think a lot more people are going to see Assassin's Creed on the shelf and pick that up instead.
And I do think, like we mentioned, there will be the first two in addition to just it being a Lord of the Rings property, even though Lord of the Rings on the box is just word of mouth about the first one. People are like, oh, the first one's so awesome. I think a lot more people will pick up the sequel because of that if they haven't already played it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're advertising the crap out of it.
They are, yeah. So. Huge marketing campaign for it.
Yeah.
So...
Or is it Origins? I haven't really seen anything.
Yeah, I've seen some cinematic trailers, but I feel like I've seen Mordor
ads and stuff,
all over the place.
I've seen Mordor or Shadow of War.
I still can't get that title right. I love the title. I think Shadow of War sounds awesome.
It's cool. I'm getting them confused, though, because I know if you're subscribed to GeoForce, the NVIDIA program that you can sign up with, I got an email saying, like, hey, you don't have to sign up or anything, but we're just choosing random people that are signed up with GeoForce, and we're giving away copies of Shadow of Mordor for free. And I was like... That's awesome. They were saying like 50,000 copies. And I was like, they're giving away a brand new game. 50,000 copies. I hope I win. And then I was like, a couple minutes later, I was like, oh, wait, that's the first one.
It's like, so they're not giving away the sequel.
No, they said Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, okay. But at the beginning of the podcast, I thought you meant to say Shadow of War, but it's Mordor.
I said Mordor. That's what I'm saying. I'm getting confused on one is which. That was the whole point. I was like, oh, wait, the new one's War.
Yeah.
It's just kind of similar titles. I don't know.
See, I love when sequels are named like a playoff of the first title, like Alien to Aliens, and then Tomb Raider to Rise of the Tomb Raider, and then presumably still Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I've always loved sequels that have titles like that.
And it's like Shadow of War more.
Yeah, because it's because they rhyme. Yeah. Shadow of Mordor to Shadow of War. I love that change. On paper, I'm like, that looks and sounds cool, but I get them
mixed up. People could literally, and I had this, they could look at a list of games and see War and just assume that, oh, that game has been out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to be a big problem, but that I even, you know, had that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see other people probably having the same mistake too.
We'll see.
We'll see. I don't think Mordor is going to... Even if it comes out on top, which I don't think it will. I think Origins will. I don't think it would literally murder everything else in there. So.
I don't know. Josh could be right, though. We'll see.
He could be. And if he is, we will say you did it.
Yes.
Good job.
Hell Teacher Loki says, found this interesting question from IGN's Alana Pierce. I believe I saw this tweet as well earlier this week. You are the last character you played as in a video game. In the world of the last action/horror movie you watched, how long do you survive?
I'm already confused. Okay. Say it again.
So we're going to talk about character, then we're going to talk about the world here.
Okay.
First, here's the character. You are playing as the character you last played as in a video game. Who was that for you?
Billy Lurk.
I was playing as my Fable 2 character.
So you're screwed.
Yeah. In a world of the last, and this is the world now, and you're playing as that character in a world of the last action/horror movie you watched.
Okay.
What was that?
Get Out.
Okay. That's easy then for you. You're good to go.
Yeah.
What was the last horror movie we watched, Casey?
Action horror.
So Kingsman.
Is it action or horror movie or
action slash horror? So either one, I guess.
Is Get Out an action slash horror?
It's like a horror thriller.
Okay,
so.
I guess. Then yeah, I'm good. Billy Lurk would just kill everybody and just run away.
Okay, I'd be my Fable character in Kingsman. He's a goner. Everyone has weapons and crazy gadgetry in Kingsman, so I'm screwed.
Mm.
Now, when I first read this tweet, I had played Fortnite last, and the world slash the last horror movie I saw was It, I believe. And did we watch a horror movie? No, we watched Eyes of My Mother, right? Mother. I guess Mother's sort of a horror movie.
Oh, yeah, and we saw it.
Yeah. But yeah, shout out to Eyes of My Mother real quick on Netflix. The movie's insane. I suggest everyone watch it. If you like horror movies, it's intense.
Okay.
But yeah, Mother, if I was playing as a Fortnite character, I'd probably be just fine. Now, I couldn't kill Javier Bardem. I don't want to spoil it, but you couldn't kill him. So I may have just spoiled it. Sorry.
That movie is something else.
Mother?
I've never seen such a split of people with that movie.
Right. I mean, I saw it. I was like, me and Casey were like, oh, yeah, it was fine.
Okay. You're the only person that's been like
in between,
middle of the road.
Yeah. I wasn't like, oh, it's amazing. And I wasn't like, oh, I hated it.
I've heard people say it's literally the worst movie of the generation.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. I don't think that at all. I was just like, oh, that was interesting.
Okay.
So, I'd probably be fine as a Fortnite character in that world.
Okay.
Just shoot everyone.
Yeah. I think Billy Lurk would be good in several situations.
Oh yeah. She could do well in almost any generation.
Yeah.
With those abilities.
She's so sneaky.
Yeah. And trading faces and stuff, stealing faces.
She's good. She's good to go.
She'll be fine. Intel Gaming Radio says, I almost said, question, because it came off of a statement he made before his question.
Okay.
If we got our guardians to talk again, who would you want them to be voiced by? I want Jason David Frank or Johnny Young Bosch, mostly because with my usual fire team, we all look like Power Rangers. If your guardian could be voiced.
Can I take the easy way out and say I don't want him to be voiced?
Okay. I think it'd be fine if he was voiced, because I've always thought it's kind of funny that your guardian never speaks. Now I know why, because of the style of game it is.
That's one of my main complaints of Fallout 4 is I wish I wasn't talking.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I can be that character more.
I always prefer that, and I hope they don't apply that to Skyrim as well.
Me too.
I hope they just
Skyrim too.
Elder Scrolls. Yeah, I'm hoping they don't do that, because I've always preferred just being my own voice. That's what I like about Divinity. You're your own voice.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I'm role playing as a character.
That's true.
But there are options that I can say what he would say or what I can say. So
yeah. I think your character talks to themselves at points too, don't they? If I caught that, is it someone else's voice?
In Divinity, that's a narrator.
Okay.
It's like you're in a...
I know it's a narrator, but I could have sworn I heard my own guy say at one point, like, I got to help those people.
Oh, yeah.
Something.
Your characters have a voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you can create your own character, I don't want to talk. But if I'm playing like The Witcher where you're playing as a character, then yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
Yeah,
but if I want to... Destiny is very much a thing of, this is your guardian. Mm-hmm. I would rather him just not talk.
Okay, I get that.
So
that's fine.
But I guess if he had to talk, Peter Dinklage, I want to bring him back.
Yeah. He'd make the perfect guardian voice.
He would.
Specifically for a warlock, I believe.
Yeah.
I would say, what's his name? What's the guy who voices Nathan Drake?
Nolan North.
He plays your ghost,
yeah.
Nolan North.
Nolan North.
He already does the ghost. I forgot about that. Yeah. I was going to say he'd be too much like...
Troy Baker?
Yeah. I have no idea. I don't really care. George Clooney. Why not?
Yeah, George Clooney.
Sure.
Good. He's not doing anything right now.
Nice.
Let's get Mel Gibson in here.
Yeah. That works. Black Skulltula. Now, is it Skulltula? Skulltula? I know that's from Zelda, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yes. The collectibles.
Okay. Garrett. Halo 3 is now backwards compatible right now on Xbox One.
Whoa.
Is this enough to get you back to the Xbox One for a time? Well, let me say this. Yes, but I still need someone to explain to me why everyone won't just play the Master Chief Collection. Now, I get that Halo 3's multiplayer is limited on Master Chief Collection, because if I want to play Halo 3 Big Team, I have to just go into the Big Team playlist, and it mixes Halo 1 through 4. For Big Team. I can't just pick. I want to play Halo 3 Big Team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a Halo 3 just general Slayer playlist where you just play Halo 3 Slayer. So I can get why people would want the full Halo 3 experience to be backwards compatible. But Now, I need someone to explain. I can just do my research. I haven't done my research. Now, when it's backwards compatible, I don't know if I can just download Halo 3 on Xbox One, like the original version, or I can just stick in a Halo 3 Xbox 360 disc.
I think you have to stick
disc.
In the disc, and then it downloads the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I imagine Halo 3 GameStop's like 50 cents or something by now.
It's probably pretty cheap.
I mean, it's 10 years old. So,
I'm sure now the sales went up. Now that everybody is backwards compatible, they might have upped the price a little bit.
Yeah, plus with it being the 10-year anniversary this past week, which I meant to mention at the beginning of the podcast, I did play a bit of Halo 3 this week on Master Chief Collection.
Mm.
And it was great. Loved it.
I'm sure that just that nostalgia of just booting up Halo 3 is, and like you said, just different things that you can do in that, but that you can't do the Master Chief Collection.
Now, I can't promise I'll be able to play it often, but I will say this. I'm going to go to GameStop on my way home from school tomorrow, and I'm going to pick up a copy of Halo 3 on 360 to stick into my Xbox One. And I will play it with whoever's on this week. For at least a couple hours, if I have time.
Do you know who's not going to be on?
On Xbox or Halo?
Both.
Who's that?
Probably me.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's okay. But I'll play some Halo 3 with you guys. I'd love to go and... that's the thing. Backwards compatible version of Halo 3. I don't know how many people will be playing it. Because Master Chief Collection, for example, I was in matches over and over again. Easy. Now, backwards compatible version, I don't know how many people will be on there.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm wondering, since I transferred all my info from 360, if my Halo 3's statistics and maps I've created and stuff will be in the backwards compatible version. I don't know if it just resets everything.
Not sure about
that. That would be awesome.
I don't know how they do that.
I don't know how
maybe
they would
your profile
either.
Maybe
like the cloud of your profile, like
the just, cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that's how it works,
I would
assume
that your ranking is in their servers.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. They probably doesn't have like all your forges and all the stuff that is actually stored on.
I just want to play in Sky Castle, man.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. I'm excited.
Okay.
Yes. You can. I'm going to have a copy of that this week. If you're on Discord, just message me on Discord tomorrow, and I will get back to you about that. Because I will have a copy as of tomorrow, and we'll figure out a time to play, because I'd love to.
Sick.
Sam Harris ends the episode this week, Preston.
Mm.
It says, Bromades.
Hi.
PSX is only a few months away. What do you think will be announced? New games, accessories, updates, maybe, just maybe, the long-rumored, almost legendary announcement that we will finally change our PSN names?
Nope.
One can only hope.
Nope, that's not happening.
Okay, what about the rest? New games, accessories, updates.
Last of Us 2 gameplay. Clearly.
You think we're going to get gameplay at PSX?
Yes.
I get the feeling they're going to hold off till E3 next year for gameplay.
I
think if anything, we'll get another scene from the game.
They
like
unveiled Uncharted 4 gameplay at PSX.
Okay.
After revealing it at that E3. I think they will give us a smidge of gameplay. I just feel it in my butt.
All right. I'm going to hold off with agreeing with you for now.
Okay, that's fine. God of War release date.
Absolutely.
Potentially. Sucker Punch's new game, I think we're going to see.
We deserve that at
PSX. We deserve to see it.
Absolutely.
I think we're going to see it,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to blow our dick off, I think.
When do you think God of War is coming out? You think Q1 2018?
I think it's coming out in March.
Okay. I think that's a brilliant date for it.
Okay.
Or maybe late February, take a Horizon approach with it.
Okay. I can see both of those things. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty close.
I get the feeling it's either going to be, like you said, March or late February, mm-hmm. purely off of the success of Horizon. Now, I know Horizon had a lot of hype for it going into it, but I think mm-hmm. that was almost like a perfect date at the time. So mm-hmm. I think they're going to want to replicate that with God of War.
I just can't see them holding off until E3 to show
for
Last of Us.
Last of Us.
That'd be
the first Last of Us gameplay we ever saw was E3.
Yeah, but they had unveiled it a little bit prior. Or they unveiled it at the Game Awards. So it was about half a year. It will have been, if they wait until E3, it will have been an entire year and a half till we've seen anything.
I mean, they mentioned it's a far away out.
It is far away out. I just think we'll get a taste of gameplay at PSX.
Okay. When do you think we're getting the game? You think 2018 or 2019?
2019.
Okay.
2019. I think we are going to get another smidge of details from Spider-Man. Probably.
Certainly.
I don't know if we're going to get a release date.
Mm.
I don't know.
If anything, I think we'll
maybe
say...
Maybe a quarter.
Yeah, like fall 2018 or something.
Yeah, I still feel like that game is... They're still not 1,000% sure. I would not be surprised in the slightest if that game comes out in 2019.
I don't think it'll be that long.
I don't want it to, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it being pushed back to... I would like it to come out in May. I feel like that'd be good. May or a holiday. That's a good holiday game as well, but I could see it being pushed from holiday to, I don't know, that's just a game they have to make sure is perfect. So that's why I'm saying it wouldn't surprise me if it was pushed.
When's Detroit coming out again?
We don't know.
I could have sworn they gave us a release date finally.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Didn't they? I could have sworn they did.
Mm-mm.
What did they give us then recently that was very relevant?
What about, while I look that up, what about
Days Gone?
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding.
You think we'll see anything from that? We haven't seen anything from that in a tiny bit.
Maybe. I'll be honest. If it's not gameplay, I don't give a crap.
I'm hyped for that game, though.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that game.
I want to see gameplay next. Days Gone, we may get something. I think I've seen enough gameplay from Days Gone. Granted, I'd like to see something even more unique from the gameplay versus just stealthing around, killing stuff.
All we have for Detroit is 2018.
That's all it says? Mm-hmm. Maybe they just gave us the year then.
Man, this could be like a huge PSX. If we get like release dates, I think they need to give us a release date for Days Gone, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If we get two release dates, Days Gone, God of War, if we get some gameplay for Death Stranding and The Last of Us 2 and an infamous, or not infamous, Sucker Punch reveal, mm-hmm. and like some more Spider gameplay... That's like too much. That's too much. That's too good to be true.
It is. It would be a beautiful thing.
Yeah. If I could just see two things. I don't want to see God of War. Don't show me God of War. Give me a release date. That's all I want to know. I don't want to see anything else from God of War.
It isn't terribly expensive to go to PSX, is it?
PSX?
Like the ticket itself? Like I know you got to factor in travel and hotel, but the event itself isn't terribly expensive, is it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because I think it'd be fun if the three of us
when
made an effort to
December?
Get there. I think it's late November or December.
That'd be fun.
Because, I mean, it's not that expensive.
The big thing with that is if the tickets go out of stock or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun, though. But yeah, I feel like everything we just said would just be too much. That I don't think my brain could handle all of that.
Mm-hmm. All of this discussion is forcing the poop out of me even quicker.
I'm sorry.
So it may be a good time to wrap
this up. I would like
to
just see The Last of Us and Spider-Man and then God of War. They're just like, it's coming out then.
That'd yeah, if I had a top three I need to see, mm-hmm. Sucker Punch, I'd love a God of War, at least, whether it's a trailer or gameplay, which I really don't need either, mm-hmm. but at least a release date for that. And lastly...
I need more Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I need it.
Like, I'd be okay with seeing Spider-Man over Last of Us, because we know for a fact Last of Us isn't coming anytime soon. Now, of course, same with you. I'd love to see some gameplay mm-hmm. from Last of Us. I'm still not totally convinced it's going to happen.
Okay.
You never know.
You do. Never know. It wouldn't surprise me if it is, but I just have a feeling. I feel it.
Okay.
Okay.
We will see.
All right. That was the Savvy's Gaming Podcast. Sure, my best friend and I talk about video games and stuff. If you liked it, please go to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Savvy's Gaming. Please subscribe to us. Please leave a like and comment down below. It helps us out tremendously. Please also leave us a review on iTunes. Jacob's not here to check those.
No,
but,
he's not.
We appreciate it nonetheless. We want to get on that new and noteworthy thing, dude. We're almost there, I promise.
We've only been around for almost 3 years now.
Yeah, dude.
New and noteworthy.
Yes, but if you're listening to us on Spotify, please check us out on iTunes or at YouTube. Check out our Discord channel as well. All our social media pages and all the stuff you need to contact us is in the description down below. And if for some reason you're already this far and you're like, oh, dang, I really want to listen to them talk about a prior subject, but I don't have the time to scrub through everything, all the time codes are in the description down below, and that is for every single platform, right? There are timestamps?
Yes, any description that exists for any place you listen, the timestamps are there.
And for the next podcast, if you don't want to listen to us talk about other things, they're there. So now you know.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to end us on? We didn't have a taco talk. Taco Bell was good.
It was wonderful today, as always. Loved it.
As always. Didn't win an Xbox One X, so that's sad.
Okay. Here are some things I'd love to do with the community this week. I want to play some more Fortnite because I thought it was fun. Now, then again, I'd love to play some more PUBG because that's amazing. So, all I have going on this week, other than the weekend, I'll be busy this weekend, but during the week, all I have is some schoolwork. So, I'd like to, obviously, we want to stream, but for a stream, I think I was thinking about one of us streaming some Divinity.
Okay.
So I think, I don't know how many people are interested in that, but you and I are really enjoying it, so I think it'd be fun, even if it's only like an hour and a half, like a short stream.
We should stream The Raid.
Yeah, since I haven't played it yet, I think that's what we should definitely do. It maybe, let's say, Tuesday night.
Sure.
You down for that?
Sure, man.
I know Jacob is down on Tuesday nights.
Okay.
So we will do that then. We'll raid Tuesday night. We'll stream that. I'm down for some Halo 3 backwards compatible version if you guys are one night. I'd like to try some Fortnite and or PUBG at some point.
Okay.
So we'll work all that out. But I'd love to play with you guys this week in a variety of games we have to play.
Sounds good.
Be awesome.
Great.
Yes.
Anything else you'd like to leave us on, Garrett? Let's leave a word of wisdom.
Okay, that as well, but I meant to say that Casey and I are going to do, I think if people enjoy it, we're going to do a full walkthrough of Cuphead, but at the very least, we're going to have a Let's Play for Cuphead.
Good luck, I hear it's really hard.
It is, yes, I've heard that as well. We're in for a challenge, but...
game is beautiful.
Starting tomorrow, if you're listening on Monday, October 2nd, our Cuphead walkthrough will begin.
I gotta pee.
I gotta poop. Bad. I will poop, you pee in between my legs while I poop. That's our word of wisdom.
Sounds good. I hope I don't sneeze or anything.
Yeah, I hope not. That'd be devastating.
That would be devastating.
Perhaps I'd be into it. We'll see when the time comes.
All right. We appreciate you guys coming out to listen to us on all the platforms. We wouldn't be here without you guys. Literally, we'd be dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we appreciate it. And I'll leave you guys with this word of wisdom. Don't tighten your shoes or belt too tight.
I hate when I tighten my shoes too tight. It's terrible.
See you guys next week.
Goodbye, everyone.